everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Women on War podcast. I am your host, Alyssa Adkins.
And I am your host, Jillian Drapala. And today we actually have a special guest with us.
Hi, I'm Becky Goodnow.
Yes, and Becky is joining us because we're doing a very special episode this week on Renee LaMare. And also, I kind of want to throw in Augusta Chewy in there because she was like a forgotten angel of Bastogne. And, you know, her story isn't very, you know, well known as Renee, due to like depictions and like Band of Brothers and things like that. But if you don't know who we are, Alyssa and I are your two not so average museum gals who drink and discuss history. Becky also worked with us at the Henry Ford Museum. So she is pulling in her expertise because she's also becoming a firefighter and paramedic and also, yay, you know, doing medical things on the side. And she does reenacting, and she's Renee. Yes, and she's Renee 1, Renee 2, and Alyssa, you're Renee 3.
Renee Cubes.
This is what happens you're known as. When Renee men Cubes. Drink at reenactments, mm-hmm. and they can't remember your name. You're they just Renee. Call you Renee. It's
just Renee. Welcome yeah. to Bastogne.
Renee Cubed. I like yeah, it. This is, I like yeah, it. This is Renee Cubed.
Perfect.
For real. But, yeah, Alyssa, what are you drinking?
So, funny stories. I already told Jillian and Becky this. Last week, my husband and I celebrated kind of our 9-month anniversary, but I decided to be a little shit and I stopped at the grocery store and got him Smirnoff Ice to ice him. So if you don't know what icing is, it's you hide a Smirnoff Ice wherever, and as soon as somebody sees it, they have to chug it. So I did that, ironically enough, because we did it to each other on our wedding. So when we got married, so I figured why not? But because I'm doing homework, or I was doing homework before we were recording, I needed a sugar rush. And so I am drinking the Smirnoff Ice that I had intended to place everywhere throughout our house. So you're going to get sugar rush, Alyssa, and slightly tipsy Alyssa tonight. So woohoo! That's awesome. Anyway.
I mean, that's...
I wish I was.
That's fine. I mean, we can break out the booze.
I have to go home and study strokes and, you know, altered mental statuses.
That's perfect.
Yes, it is. He's the responsible what? Student, and I am the student who's like, screw this, I'm just need something to drink. I was the college student.
It's all good.
I was the college student studying history and great drinking.
Low key, I'm semi-jealous of you guys for like being in school. Not to say that I want to go back to school right now, but you know, I do have my college degree for those listening. I do have my degree. These two are just blowing me out of the water, so it's fine.
I don't know if being a career student.
Well, no, you guys are like studying and I'm sitting here sewing like two shirts in a day and a half. Anyway, let's talk about our people, our yes. badass people of history. So we have Renee and we have Augusta. And Renee, just to give like a backstory, both of these women were from Bastogne. And, you know, Augusta actually came back to Bastogne like right a little bit after the war started. But Renee, she was around Bastogne like to begin with. She was actually engaged to a Jewish man who got arrested by the Gestapo. So she like had nursing skills. So they pulled her in as a volunteer with the 10th Armored Division. The Airborne Field Hospital was actually, you know, not too far from there, but it's not like how it is in Band of Brothers. Mm-hmm. Doc Rowe and Renee never actually crossed paths, not that we know of, but it was very, like, romanticized.
Hollywood style, you know.
We have to throw some sort of love story in there somewhere. Which, I mean, I appreciate, but at the same time, I'm like,
Liberties.
Plasma.
But do you, hold on, but do you appreciate it? Do you appreciate it in that way? Because last week when we ended our episode, you were very much about Doc Rowe, and I was very upset with you for that reason.
Okay, mainly because I love Doc Rowe, and yeah. I would love to be Renee in that scene, just hanging out with Doc Rowe.
Chocolate.
Because Shane Taylor is adorable, and
yes, I concur.
But Alyssa, before you get mad at me, all the Band of Brothers men have their pros and their cons. Okay, this is like being on reenacting Bumble. Like, remember Revolutionary War game. Tinder? This is now World War II Tinder. They all have their pluses and they all have their minuses, like, and some of them you just have to hard swipe left.
I like Band of Brothers Bumble. Yeah, Band of Brothers Bumble. There you go.
BLB Bumble.
Triple
B. Triple B.
Triple Renee. Yeah. Renee cubed. Bumble Renee. Yo, Bumble Renee. Oh, Jesus.
We're doing good.
What if the reenacting community actually starts this? Like, wouldn't that be so funny?
I think we need to start this. Like, you know,
doing all the Bumble.
It's so funny with, like, Becky and I doing, like, we're getting way off topic here, but, like, that's fine. Don't care. With Becky and I doing, like, reenacting, like, we are single girls, women. We are single women. We are actually talking about it, like, do you want to date somebody in the hobby? Like, would you want to date somebody in the hobby? Would you want to date somebody outside the hobby? And then, like, today I was out, like, antiquing. We, like, ran into one of our old coworkers. And, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh, yeah, my reenacting closet. And they're like, nerds. And I was like, you don't have to tell me. Like, I know I'm a nerd for having a reenacting closet.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. But at the same time, it's like, I have, you know, when somebody, like, outside of the hobby asks me, like, what do you do for fun? I have to, like, come up with something normal sounding instead of just being like,
here's my closet.
Here's my closet that I do reenacting. Actually, one guy on Bumble, he asked me, he's like, so when you're not playing dress up, and I immediately blocked. I was like, no. Excuse me. It is not dress up.
Sorry. Next.
Thank you. Next.
Thank you. Next.
Ariana Grande said it best. Yeah. But no, like, getting back to, there you go. But, like, getting back to, like, you know, Renee, she was married, never crossed paths with Dr. O. Augusta was in the same boat. And these women kind of have, like, very short stories, like, when it comes to, like, their military service. They, you know, both worked at the 10th Armored, you know, Division Field Hospital. The only difference is Renee never dressed as, like, donned an army uniform and ran out into the field under fire to get men, like Augusta did. And, again, the only difference between these two women, they were both received commendations. They both were knighted. In Bastogne, and the only difference is Augusta was not on duty on Christmas Eve because she was able to get a pass to go home. And it, you know, for those who are unfamiliar with the story, Christmas Eve is when the Germans bombed the 10th Armored Hospital and the aid station, and that's the only difference. Is that Augusta lived, and Renee, unfortunately, you know, just wrong place, wrong time. Although I don't want to say wrong place, because she was in the right place.
Yeah,
so it was
right
just the wrong
time.
It was just the wrong time. And what's interesting is somebody wrapped Renee up in a parachute and took her to her parents, and she was buried. She's buried in Bastogne from there. But Augusta, her story went very, you know, probably not told for a long time. Actually, people thought that she had died in the war. But it wasn't until a British historian came out and said, no, there are reports that, like, somebody else was there. And he tracked her down in a nursing home and got the story. That's how this all came about.
That's awesome.
And it was because he was writing a book called The Voices of Bastogne. The Voices of the Bulge, excuse me. And, yeah, he tracked her down, got her story, and they produced a show from there. And she passed away in 2015, and people finally know her story. So,
yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, considering women's roles in the, you know, during the war, that's a big deal that somebody went to that much effort for somebody who, I mean, they're, like you said, they were basically volunteers. So, I mean, it's not like they were somebody who was enlisted, somebody who had a record. So that's kind of cool. That's very cool.
And,
you know,
and it reminds me of the Annie episode where it's men, like, taking these women's stories and going forward with it, which is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's hard because you have, like, books like that, but then, you know, a lot of people who, you know, don't necessarily like to read history books, and then there are shows and movies produced on it. Like, I love the Band Brothers series.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone here on this chat, all three of us girls, love the Band of Brothers series.
Yep.
And just watched it again, like, this weekend. But at the same time, like, it's those little liberties that they take where they're like, okay, well, let's bring Renee in to the show, but we're going to take that liberty and, like, make her cross paths with Doc Rowe just to get her in the show. And the way the Band of Brothers, like, cast, like, did it, I mean, you know, they were very respectful of the entire story, which I think is great. At the same time, like, it leads, I feel like, people who don't necessarily know too much about, like, World War II history to be a little bit skewed until they go and research and they're like, wait a minute, this didn't happen?
Yeah, I think that's a common, you know, I think that's a thing is, you know, I mean, hopefully it gets people to actually go and research and find out about, like, these ladies or these things if they want to know more about it. And I think, I hope that that's, you know, or even like this, you know, as we're talking about it, it gets people to go out there and take a look and figure these things out, because they were incredible people.
Yeah.
You know, these women were incredible for what they did for the war effort, for these men.
Yeah.
So I think that, yeah, but
yeah.
You know, Hollywood, there's always got to be some kind of romance story in the middle of Mansville.
Right. Yeah. But, well, I mean, it's just like, you know, Pearl Harbor, you know, Pearl Harbor is a lot of people in the history world. Like, Alyssa, how do you feel about the movie Pearl Harbor?
Don't even get me started. Just don't. Please don't.
A lot of people... like, they don't like it because it's very, like, they just took, you know, so what's the reason you don't like it?
There's just so many historical inaccuracies. There's so many just liberties that are taken. I mean, I understand. I think, I don't know, the entire premise of it, like, being about Pearl Harbor, but really deep down inside, it's just, like, a love story. It's just misguiding in a lot of ways, too. So, I mean, there's that. But yeah, the historical inaccuracies are pretty much my... I mean, anytime I don't like a historical movie, it's because historical inaccuracies. Yeah. So, and, like, I'm not always a historical, like, expert and stuff like that with movies, but I will, if I, like, question something, I will do a quick, like, Google search while I'm watching the movie and be like, all right, did this happen or didn't happen? And if it didn't happen, then I'm like, why? Just, why, Hollywood? Like, this entire thing is... so dramatic as it is anyway, why do you have to add, like, this element, you know, to, for whatever reason? But that's just me. So,
yeah, I mean, like, personally, I don't mind, like, I feel like I should ask you, how do you feel about Pearl Harbor?
I enjoy watching it. I'm sorry.
I mean, like, we're not putting you on, like, nobody's on blast. Yeah, like, no, we're all, like,
I mean, I agree. It's very yeah, Hollywood. No. I think if you look at it in that aspect, that it is a very Hollywood glammed up,
love,
you know,
story.
Love story for the ages. Boy meets girl meets boy, steals girl, then gets shot, and other boy. I mean, like, seriously, you know, I mean, if you look at it in that aspect, then it's like, okay, it's pretty good. But yeah, historically, yeah, I can agree that there are some things about it that it's a little teeth clenching, you know?
I feel like with, you know, Band of Brothers and Pearl Harbor, and the thing about, like, I feel, and you ladies feel free to disagree with me on this, but I have a beef with historical movies, like, as of late, and it's fresh beef. And
fresh beef.
Straight off the cat.
Fresh minced beef. Okay. But, you know,
steak tartare,
exactly. We're getting real fancy with it, for real. But, no, like, you have, like, Band of Brothers, you know, they put Renee in, or you have Pearl Harbor and it's a love story. Is that the only thing, like, women's stories are good for, like, in historical movies? Why don't we have a movie about the Wasp or the Night Witches or Renee? I mean, Renee would be a short film, but
right,
10 minute international, like, film festival thing. But, like, why don't we have stories like that? Why is it just like thrown a little bit into like a men's story? Like, sprinkle it on top for flair.
Human interest.
Yeah.
I think it's there's just an interest. I think one of the biggest reasons, and I was actually thinking about this on my way home from Smith Mountain Lake this morning, is that military history is so geared towards men, right? Because, like, if you look at reenacting, it's all men. If you look at just
Boys Club,
if you look at, even just at the military, it's like,
yeah,
boy, it's just all males, and like not all males, but like heavily dominated by males. And so, of course, Hollywood's going to cater to the like that specific demographic, and it is incredibly infuriating because there are females out there like us and like many other females we do know who really enjoy learning about specifically, like, we'll say, like, World War II, and just trying to understand all these dynamics about it and trying to figure out ways that we could get more women into this, whether it's the hobby or even just like learning about these badass women that we've been talking about with the Second World War. But really, when it comes down to it, it's a boys' club, and it's incredibly infuriating. Makes me mad. It also makes me remember a whole discussion I had about like all of the rifles that were used in like World War II, and it made me super mad. So we're not gonna go down that rabbit hole. I'll tell you guys later. But like, it's just a boys' club.
I yes. They don't even know our names. They literally call us Renee 1 and 2.
Exactly.
And we're just like, and the worst part is we respond to it, right? Because we're just like, we're just going with it in the Ardennes. But I mean, you have movies that portray women on the home front, and they do an amazing job on it. You have Bomb Girls on Netflix. You have Land Girls on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Hell, you even have A League of Their Own. Mm-hmm. You know, Void the Clap, Jimmy Doo. But...
yeah.
At the same time, like, and the best part is it portrays like a guy, like, you know,
yeah,
in that role.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, yeah, women couldn't fully serve in combat, but at the same, like, for us, like us, I mean, we're a very, very niche market, who are like, wouldn't that be amazing to have a like a mini TV series? Think of it like Band of Brothers style, mm-hmm. but with the Wasp.
I would be super interested, but like I feel like they would add so many stupid, don't get me wrong, like love elements to it. It would become like this soapy drama if that was going to be the case. It'd be all about like the people they left back at home.
I feel like it would be all about the director, because if you had the right director and like the right direction, mm-hmm. there wouldn't have to be like any love story. I feel like it could go without the love story, because actually it could portray, if it's done like correctly, it could actually portray men in a negative light, because when Wasp would deliver planes, mm-hmm. they would sit there, and like there were a number of women who were unfortunately sabotaged, rags stuffed in the engine, sugar in the gas can, mm-hmm. like in the gas tank, just horrible things. And you're like, who would do, it wasn't the other Wasp girls. I mean, it was a very competitive training, mm-hmm. but it wasn't the other Wasp, it was the men. Because the women flew the P-38s that, mm-hmm. you know, would, their engines would catch on fire, and the men couldn't fly the planes, so they gave to the Wasp to deliver, and sure enough, they did. And the officers are, like, looking at the guy pilots, like, why can't you do that? And they're just like,
they flew planes that were bigger, and, you know, they did a better job than most of the men. I mean, it's the same thing in the factories when the Rosies were working. They always said that they were more efficient than the males. And I mean, you know, nothing against mm-hmm. guys. We're not man bashing. It's just that it would be nice to, yeah, to hear those stories, to talk about that kind of thing. And there were women that were very close to combat, like Renee. I mm-hmm. mean, the ANC, the Army Nurse Corps, there were a lot of those women that were basically right behind the front line. Mm-hmm. The donut dollies, those girls were right on the front line serving donuts and coffee to the men and entertaining them. And, you know, like, I've read books about like Mean Town Girls. I mean, mm-hmm. very good book, very well researched, but romance, you know, is thrown in there because you've got girls, like, people are like, well, they don't want to hear about girls serving mm-hmm. coffee and playing records. And, you know, but they were there to write letters for the soldiers. Yeah. They were there to help them. They were there to talk to them. Exactly. You know.
To reiterate, it's just infuriating seeing this. And like one of the things that I can say about Hollywood, the most in recent years, one of the most accurate portrayals is going to go back to Joan Clark with The Imitation Game. Like they accurately portrayed her and her intelligence, I believe. It shouldn't take years to have this. It shouldn't take decades. For these accurate portrayal of women without having romance. Like, sure, they threw in Alan Turing and her engagement to Alan Turing, but that actually happened. Like, that was actually a part of, like, this entire story because it gave you to the end picture of Turing and his, you know, death by suicide, unfortunately. So, like, that was part of, like, the broader picture of it. And that was, at first I was like, okay, why are you bringing this up with Joan Clark in this movie? But then, obviously, like I said, it showcased you, took you the steps to where Turing was at eventually. And she was one of Turing's very good friends all throughout the rest of the time that he was alive. But it wasn't just, here's all this romance between Turing and Clark, you know, like most, you know, films are. Like, it didn't focus on that. It was just like, here's a snippet, you know, for the broader picture, like unlike Pearl Harbor, where it focuses all on the romance. But there were, as you said, Becky, the Army Nurse Corps were behind Lyons for the most part. But once again, we don't really hear about it. You know, mm-hmm. It's just the men that were on the front lines specifically. I'm gonna pronounce it in the Belgian way, Bastogne, or Bastogne, the anglicized way. There is tons of women that were there.
Us damn Americans.
Okay, in my humble defense, I've also went there. Like, so when I called it Bastogne the first time, somebody at the War Museum was like, oh no, you know, if you want to actually know the correct pronunciation of it, it's Bastogne. And I was like, that makes sense. So even like we say foy, right? Because that's what it's actually foie. And then I was like, okay, well, how about foy? She's like, it's foie. I was like, French pronunciation. I was like, okay. I was like, I got it. So.
I like when my hands on the hips, like, foy. And you're just foy? Like, ah, oh, damn Americans. It's foie.
It's foie. I mean, like, okay, in their defense, Belgium is, it's near France. So it totally makes sense. Like, I did not want to be that person, okay?
Yes. Well, you know what? I'm like sidebar. When Becky, we'll get you, Alyssa. I'm slowly like pulling you into the reenacting community, whether you like it or not.
Oh no, I'm here for it.
I mean, you don't have a choice here. I mean, you do have a choice.
No choice.
You do have a choice, but I'm like,
not really.
We'll just be like, but you really don't.
You really don't. So. Becky and I are building up our Army Nurse Corps impression. I think we should talk about that in a second because, like, the Army Nurse Corps and, like, the Club Mobile girls from the American Red Cross were just, like, I mean, Alyssa, you and I worked at Cotswold mm-hmm. and you talked about the Club Mobile girls and, you know. But, sidebar, we're building up, like, our, you know, Army Nurse Corps impression, otherwise known as ANC, for those of you who don't know. And there is a tour in Normandy that you get to like drive around in jeeps and like stay in tents and you can like wear stuff and like you should come with us.
Take me back to Normandy.
Back to Normandy. So it's gonna be very exciting. Also, I apologize to any listener who is wearing headphones because I blow out your eardrums every week. Don't send me your bill for your hearing aids. I'm just very loud and so is my apartment. Anyway,
when is it?
What's that?
When is this tour? When is this tour for ANC and Normandy?
Once COVID lifts. Yeah. But no, I think it's just like depends on how many people that you have. Like I did my research and I think it requires like 12 people. So look, we got three right here. And I'm sure like we can ask like some of the guys to go. And I think there are like a couple of people who listen in England who might like be interested in going. So we could like put together a nice little gaggle of people.
I think so.
to go and do this, and I think it'd be like really cool. But let me just check. It's called the D-Day Memorial Tour. I can send the link for you if you're interested. But yeah, we're slowly building up
a crew,
an impression, like all of our clothes. I need to find pants.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good look.
Our boots, our field shoes should be here on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So,
but I also like COVID restrictions are lifting. Europe, England is supposed to have their restrictions lifted by July. Quad the fuck, America.
They also saw originally the second like strain of it, and so they're more equipped, but also it's Europe. Just take me back though to Normandy. I just want to sit on the beaches again and stare at the cows. It was so wonderful.
And they're like, yeah, everybody wear a mask. Okay, great. Everyone's going to do it. Great. But where did we leave off? Oh, ANC and traveling and Army Nurse Corps. And I think where the best person to ask is Becky about the Army Nurse Corps, because you were the one who actually got me interested in the Army Nurse Corps.
Yeah, well, because I'm becoming a paramedic and a firefighter, so I...
Just like Renee.
So basically emergency medical service. So I learned that, actually wars like World War II, like Korea, like Vietnam, those kinds of things are, you know, they were the ones that actually helped to, even the Civil War, even, you know, before them, were the things that helped to get aid stations and, you know, medical tents and surgery tents and all those things. But the big wars were the ones that actually kind of helped that process and get those set up. But, just kind of learning about that. And then I read a book called And If I Perish, which is about the women who were in Normandy. They were in Italy. They were in Germany. They were there as nurses. They were on the ships that were out in the sea that were transferring patients back and forth. Some of those ships even got bombed. By the end of the war, Germany stopped following the Geneva Conference, and they started bombing like the tents. The tents had the big Red Cross symbols on them, and they didn't even care. They were bombing them. They were bombing the ships. They sunk ships. I mean, it was just a mess. But like learning all these things, and then now me being closer to what these women would have done, I decided I wanted to start doing Army Nurse Corps. So I reached out, and I've been building a kit, and then I told Jillian about it, and you know, like I said, we do Normandy. We want to be field nurses, because they would have been there. They would have a few days after the men landed on the beaches in Normandy, the ladies landed on the beaches in Normandy. So they were clear for the most part. You know, that area was clear so that they were safe to land. But they were there in field gear, you know, walking across the sand where these men, there were probably still bodies there, and you know, because the war, you know, as they were landing, they were only a few days before that these men were fighting to get up that beach. So yeah, so that was something that I would like to research into more and learn more about, because they did a lot of amazing things, and a lot of those women died overseas, you know, because they were that. I mean, they were there fighting alongside these men, you know, trying to save lives, getting blown up, you know, all kinds of things like that.
They're just fighting a very different, I mean, it was the same war, but it was just different, because I was very curious about the Band of Brothers show, because Doc Rowe does not carry a weapon in the show. And so I was like, wait, were medics allowed to carry weapons in World War II? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until 1949 when the Geneva Code changed that they were allowed to carry weapons. So you had Doc Rowe, you had these nurses running around on, you know, combat areas without any protection.
Yeah.
And that, like, to me, that's like flabbergasting.
Yeah. Like there are people like Desmond Doss, who is a conscientious objector. He chose not to carry a gun because it was against his religion, but you know, that was his choice. But still, I mean, Doc Rowe is in the middle of everything and not able to protect himself, because if, you know, you see a gun, what are you going to do? You're going to shoot, regardless of medic, you know, or grunt. So,
and I think they had to be rifle trained. Like, trained.
I'm sure they did. They went through. Yeah, because that was a big thing about like Desmond Doss is he had to, and he refused to. He refused to touch a gun. He refused to hold a gun. He actually got beat up for it, like beat up badly for it. So, you know, but yeah, it's an interest. That was an interesting, you know, piece of information.
I would love to like sit down because like men, you know. After the war, you know, obviously, like, they didn't really talk about things, and it wasn't until, you know, let's take Easy Company, for example. Band of Brothers did not start off as Band of Brothers. It started off as a documentary series about the actual men that were still alive from Easy Company. And that's how you see all those interviews at the beginning of the show. What I would love to hear about are the women's stories that, you know, were there if they are around or, you know, a lot of times they'll just say like, well, I was doing my job, but I would love to hear it like from their perspective as to what they went through, because going to like the American Red Cross Club Mobile women, those were women that traveled around in a bus, you know, led by a local driver. They would literally be, you know, passing out cups of coffee, donuts, and cigarettes saying, hey, soldier, would you like a cup of coffee? You know, and then probably asking better questions than how's your day going? But like, you know, I don't, were there any with ANC, were there any like restrictions like to the application process? Like for the American Red Cross Club Mobile women, you had to be between the ages of 20 and 29, I think. You had to be college educated. You had to be single. You had to be single. And you had to be pretty. And there, you know, it goes into depth about like their application process for that. Where was there anything like that for ANC?
Well, they were educated. Absolutely. They were nurses. So, I mean, unlike Renee, who, I mean, she had medical background, but was just a volunteer. These women went to school to be nurses and then be enlisted in the Army to become, you know, to be a nurse, you know. So they were like, you know, they're officer level, second lieutenant, first lieutenant, you know, and so on. But yeah, I mean, they didn't care if you were short, fat, ugly, whatever.
We're like, we need,
I mean,
nurses.
They still, you know, I'm sure they still would, you know, like them to look. I mean, that's a big thing when you read about a lot of stuff about women is they wanted them to look good, you know, because, but this is for the men, because these, a lot of these men had not seen a woman in years, you know, or an American woman in years. So to see it, you know, a nurse standing over him, taking care of him was kind of a big deal. But I mean, but no, these women were actually nurses when they were going into, or they went to school to become a nurse right before they, you know, joined the Army. So, and then you do your probably emergency medical training while you're in your boot camp and things like that. So, you know, they were used to what they would have or not have in the field, because that was a big thing too, is not getting supplies and that kind of thing, you know, but having your red lipstick or whatever, you know,
having your hair curled or washing your hair in a helmet.
But they were learning how to dig foxholes and, you know, and all that kind of thing. But yeah, and as far as I know, I mean, you had to have medical background in order to become a nurse, you know, to be in that situation.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I know you had to have 2 to 3 years of training to become a nurse. You had to be single anywhere between the ages of 21 to 40. And I forgot exactly where I want to, it's either Kentucky or it's a Midwest state where their training was at. I forgot what camp specifically that they had to go to after they were able to enlist. ANC wasn't, and I will touch base on this because I think this would be a fun episode to do. So ANC wasn't strictly just in theater, Pacific Theater or the European Theater either. They were actually home in the national parks. So because the national parks and the national forests were being used for training purposes, they would also put them out there. So if they were maybe perhaps like a newer nurse, I believe they would put them in the parks or in the national forest where they were doing their training specifically. A lot of them for Pacific Theater, if they were coming back from the boats that were taking them from the Pacific Theater, they would go to California and they would be treated at Yosemite National Park. Actually, I forgot, the Majestic Yosemite Hotel, what it is, what it's called now, was actually converted into an entire naval hospital. And this this hotel is huge. So you can only imagine, like, when you walk in, you're like, holy crap, this is ginormous. But then they would also take them down to Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Park for the respite portion. So Donut Dallies, I believe, were also kind of in that sector to kind of give them that respite. So it's interesting to see the dynamics between which area. And I think if they were able to, they treated them like the men in this regard. If they earned a certain amount of, I believe, with, I'm going to say points, I think it's the incorrect terminology. But if they earn a certain amount of points, they would send them back home and then they could go and transfer into a national park or, you know, back into a camp or a base, just to kind of give them also that sense of respite as well. So in the regard, our minor score was a little bit more aligned, I think, with like medic standards, if I'm correct, at least from all my research I did when I worked in Sequoia and Kings Canyon. However, in terms of what we know in history, obviously we don't know that much because I had to really, really dig. I think I even had to pull a friend of mine who's in the military. I was like, can you look up any information for me? Like, get all of these documents for me if you can, because I have nothing to go off of and I have to build a program based off of this. And so I would have to figure out what friend that would. I think I have a friend who's a nurse in the Army, so I'll have to. I'll see if she can get the documents for the impressions so we have accurate information, because it's not talked about in history.
That would be fantastic.
That would be great.
Yeah, because there's a couple good books out there. I mean, there's one I read about the women that were in a Bataan. And
the Bataan Death March.
Yeah. They went on the marches and ended up in POW. And
the Angels of Bataan,
Yeah. So.
Could you imagine, like, being in a prisoner of war camp for the duration of the war,
the entire war,
and then you,
and they worked, they were allowed to go and work in the city, like, hospital, but then they had to come back to the camp and eat, like, maggoty rice, and you know a lot of those women lost like 40-50 pounds because by the end of the war, I mean, they weren't,
which women can't afford.
I mean, you think about it, some of them were so, like, malnourished and underweight and everything by the end of the war because they were basically treated, you know, I mean, they were treated well enough in the beginning, but then, but it's interesting to kind of see the different, you know, perspectives of those serving in, like, the Pacific Theater compared to those women that were stuck. Yeah, they were put in a camp for the entire war, you know, but still acting as nurses.
And my thing is, too, like, with Army Nurse Corps, with the Angels of Bataan, with the Club Mobile women, anybody who served in, like, medical sector or anything like that, like, you are seeing and you are hearing the effects of war from men. Like, when, Alyssa, when we worked at Cotswold Cottage for Christmas, I drove the point home semi too hard sometimes, where, you know, it was like, oh, and they helped, you know, with set up, you know, psychological care back home after the war for these men, and then they had to, like, leave, so I was like, have a Merry Christmas, like, ending on that note. But it's amazing to me, like, all these things that they heard, that they saw. I'm curious to know, like, and this is why I want to talk to somebody, like, so bad, but I'm curious to know, like, how was their mental health at the end of it, you know? Like, I obviously, like, the Angels of Bataan, they're going to be different than women who are not.
It's different forms of PTSD.
Exactly.
Basically.
Yeah. And I'm just curious to know, like, the effects it had on, like, on the women.
They, I mean, all human beings experience post-traumatic stress at some point in their life. And I'm sure it's just the way you handle it differently, right? And I'm sure there are definitely women who were in the ANC who chose not to talk about it as well, right? Because for the most part, you also have to kind of take this into context, like, yes, they are nurses, right? So they can easily transition to a nursing job right back in the States. But we have to talk about the social context, though, too, right? Yeah. So if they came back, then what if they had a family? What if they want to start a family? You know, they kind of have to, like, that entire generation, push everything down and just go back and, you know, live your life. And that's why they say, I did what I had to do. That's a common theme throughout any World War II veteran, is I did what I needed to do. It doesn't matter if it's a male or a female.
It was our
day. So,
Yeah. Yeah. I wish like somebody had, and maybe a book is out there. Listeners, if you know of a book out there, like give it to us. I'd love to read it. Cause we have things like Donut Dollies and we have, you know, and If I Perish and we have other books, but I mean, I, you know, went to the bookstore last week, Alyssa, and I sent, like, I bought $65 worth of books. And, like,
so proud.
You know, you have things like Robert Lecky, who, but, like, you have things like Robert Lecky, and he wrote, you know, A Helmet for My Pillow. You have Shifty's War from Band of Brothers. You have, I'm currently reading the Beyond Band of Brothers by nice. Dick Winters.
Nice.
I wish, like, somebody had written something like that, because it's not only for like I want to know their thoughts about things, but also like how much detail are we losing, like as historians, because like the three of us are historians, right? Mm-hmm. And how much detail are we losing just by not having these stories like written down, you know? And I'm like, oh, I want to know, like, if it's out there, I want to know more. I need to know more. So yeah, because I like when we go to, you know, the 75th anniversary of Normandy happened. I have friends that went and they're like, oh, all these vets were around and it was great. I want to know how many of them were women. If any woman veteran went.
So I actually want to touch base on that, because I'm sure there was probably female veterans, but like it's not going to be far, few in between. And the reason why I'm touching base on this as well is because when I was in Normandy, gosh, almost like 3.5-4 years ago, I went to the cemetery, right, the American National Cemetery that's in Normandy, and when you go, obviously, you just see just crosses everywhere. Occasionally, you see a Star of David, and all of the names, and I went up and down every single one of them, and I was like, I don't care how long this takes me, I want to see all these names. Not one of them was a female name. Not one. And when we talk about the ANSI, when we talk about all these wonderful women who gave their lives, which there's actually a book called The Nightingale of Normandy, which I believe is Frances Stoger. That's a book about her. So if you want to read it, I would read it. However, that's just, it's mind boggling because they're literally there. So who knows where their remains are, but yet if they had the same standards or relative standards of like being a medic, right? Males were medics. And they were on the front lines and they were seeing combat directly and treating all these men. Why aren't they in the National Cemetery there? Like that, it's just infuriating. It makes me so mad.
Right. I know there's an Instagram account for our dear listeners. Go give them support. They are our Czech, our European friends. I think they're Czech or they might be Polish. I don't know. They're in that area. But they do Army Nurse Corps impression. Mm-hmm.
And they do a wonderful job.
Yeah. And they I think they posted on their story that they were in a cemetery and they had, like, a female, like, a nurse name. And they, like, left her flowers and they leave, like, a picture of her. And I want to know, like, I need to revisit that, like, their account and see. But I completely agree. Like, it's, you know, it's such a celebration of the war and everything. Like, every time, you know, you go back, like, they love Americans and they just like are still so appreciative of that history. And I think it's great that they're just like keeping it, like you're pulling it up, aren't you? Yes, she is. But you know, I completely agree with you, Alyssa. Like now when we go back, like on our girls trip, we can go back to the cemeteries and see. Cause I just want to know, like, yeah, it's called Army Nurse Corps in World War II is their Instagram handle. And you're
from the Czech Republic,
yes.
Based in Poland. Very, very good. I mean, excellent. Excellent pictures. They do a wonderful job. They've been actually very helpful in helping set up when I had asked a lot of questions about what I need for my kit. Because it's different than what a medic would carry because they weren't in the field like a medic, but they were still
they were in
the tents, in the surgery tents, or whatever they were doing, wherever they were assigned. But
yeah, I think there's a post in there somewhere, or it's from like one of the members. Every time I see pictures of those cemeteries, though,
there you go.
Whether it's
American Cemetery,
so their post says Memorial Day, remember and honor 201 U.S. Army nurses died while serving during World War II. Their sacrifice is not forgotten. And they have a picture of...
Margarten Cemetery is where they were, apparently. But, yeah, I can't see her name.
It says the American Cemetery in Margarten.
What's the cemetery's?
Margarten? Yeah, sure. Wilma R.
Margarten?
Vincent from Texas. She was Army Nurse Corps in the evac area.
Oh, it's the Netherlands American Cemetery. That's what it is. It's in, the Netherlands.
But it's not, it's not like when you go to Normandy, you go to the American Cemetery. You know, it's not that.
No.
And I just want to know, like, if women veterans went back for, like, the 75th, like, if they could. Like, when my great uncle was alive, they have to Washington, D.C., they have it for, he was in Vietnam. And he had, it was a memorial flight. And you could go on this flight and they would take you around D.C. and they would, show you the memorial, area. And they would take you on special tours and whatnot. And it was great. He loved it. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I'm curious to how much they give it to the women veterans. And I'm sure it's more, ever since, like, Vietnam, maybe Korea. But, like, with World War II, it's just different,
So there's a picture here of them. They're actually in the Normandy American Cemetery Memorial. And there are women buried in there. Oh. ANC buried in there. Yeah.
Are there? Okay. So then when I didn't see any, so that makes me hopeful. Well, then I stand corrected.
I wonder. So a lot of them. So a lot of the times on, like, with, let's say Arlington National Cemetery, you can go on their website and look up a name, and it'll tell you the location. I wonder if it's the same thing with the, American Cemetery in Normandy.
Correct.
If you can do that. Because you should be able to look up names that way.
Yeah. You might be able to.
Because if it's a government cemetery. Mm-hmm.
I would assume there should be some kind of way, because as people's family, that they never made it home.
Especially with, like, military records and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every time I see their Instagram page, I'm like, I get goosebumps, because they just do, like, a really good job. Alyssa, you need to follow them.
I'm actually looking at them right now as you two are talking, and I'm like, oh, man, I want to be your friend.
They're so cute.
And extremely helpful. Wonderful, wonderful job.
You know, it's so funny to me how much and this is not bashing, like, our European friends by any means, but it's really interesting how, like, British and, like, Czech people, like, they will do American, like, units. I think that's, like, really interesting to me that they want to do.
I think it's very cool.
Yeah.
Because the only thing that touched us, during the war in the United States was Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
But we were support. We were backup. We were, there. So I understand how it's so much more prevalent in Europe, because that was what their ancestors dealt with. And for the fact that they honor us in that aspect, where they're doing ANC and they're doing paratroopers and they're doing all that kind of stuff, is actually really cool.
Yeah.
I think it's really, really neat.
And I think it's interesting, as we kind of wrap up this episode, there's a podcast over in England called The Reenactors Ramble. And they just made a point on, like, one of their most recent episodes that they want to start doing, like, more local, troops in World War II. Whether it be, like, related to family or not, like, local people doing local regiments. And I think that's, like, an interesting point, because they have a history. But also, they have original, like, locations, because it was over there. So, like, the airfields or the pubs that, airfields, and the pilots went to this pub after or whatever. I wonder if, like, you're in there, like, wearing, like, an RAF outfit, and then sure enough, like, an RAF, like, actual pilot comes in, and you're just like, ugh. So I wonder if it's just, like, different. You're like,
how do I look?
Hey, heyo. But, like, obviously, like, uniforms have changed and, like, whatnot. But, yeah, I think it's just, like, really cool.
I agree.
Alyssa?
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts for this episode?
I mean, I think it goes back to last week's episode. I think we need to have more accurate representation in history. And we really need to continue being the driving force for these females to have their stories be told, because otherwise they get lost. Like, I wouldn't have known, even though I walked up and down the cemetery, I wouldn't have seen, you know, females being represented in the cemetery and being buried in the cemetery until you guys told me about this wonderful Instagram. And they're like, oh, yes, they are buried there. And I was like, okay, thank God. Like, but that's another accurate way of showing that representation. So, I mean, that's my closing thought with it. I wish there was, I guess, more information on Augusta Chewy and really Renee LaMere. I think those two women, although we, you know, just briefly talked about them, I think it's something that's really important for those volunteer nurses. I think we need to learn more about them in World War II and just all across the board in foreign wars, because they do play a very integral part, not just within the home front, but for, as we see with those two, with the Americans and for the Allied forces. So I'm probably, after I get done with homework tonight, we'll probably go down the deep rabbit hole of looking up information about these volunteer nurses. But yeah, that's just me.
Becky, do you have any closing thoughts? I know I like to put you on the spot.
No, it's okay, because it is, it's well, because I, you know, being a tribute Rosie too, it's wonderful to hear these stories of these women, because like we've said, everything you always get is, I was just doing my part. And it's like, these are the things that we, like, I agree that we need to be the driving force behind. I absolutely agree with that. We need to get those stories out there, you know, with our baseball, with ANC, with Renee, you know, and Augusta. And I mean, I won't be rabbit holing tonight. I'll be working on yes, I'll be working on medical stuff.
I'll be sending her things.
Right, and I'll be like, ooh. But no, I'm proud.
That's okay. I'll just be working on boring forestry stuff. Okay.
I'll rabbit hole for all, the both of
right?
you.
We all have our things we have to do, but yeah, no, I am very proud to be able to do what we're doing, and I'm happy to be able to do what we're doing. So, and I hope, you know, it continues for a very long time.
Yeah. And I hope COVID lifts.
Please, oh my God.
For the love of God,
wear your
everybody.
Mask, people.
I don't Me care too. What political side of the aisle you are on. I swear to God, the faster you put a mask on, the sooner we can be done with this. I'm sure of it. Well, I'm maybe not sure of it, but like, you know what I mean? Everybody just like do your part. Like, we'll get done with this faster. Oh, there's a puppy in the video. Mm. Oh, look at Scout. Oh, Scout. For those listeners who've heard us for a while now,
yeah, it's making it
Alyssa
up.
Has dogs. Scout, Bo, and Jasper. Mm-hmm. They're all little love bugs and so good. But mm-hmm. Alyssa and I have actually been talking about it. Next month, March, is actually, well, this month, I should say, March is actually Women's History Month. And so we are going to be just continuing highlighting badass women of history. Ooh. And most importantly, we are putting women of color into our podcast.
Fantastic.
Because
yes,
they had as much part of it. I also like Scout's agreeing.
Yep.
So keep an eye out for that. We might be posting on our Instagram page more than our Facebook page, because my Facebook got hacked, and the Facebook page right now is,
gotta love technology,
SOL. But be on the lookout. We're gonna do a new one, and it's going to be great, mm-hmm. and password protected, mm-hmm. like 14 times. So, yes. Alyssa, you have something to say?
I know who we should do. Yes, I'm touching my nose. That's my indication. We were talking. I was going to say, I think we should do, for next week, our episode should be the 404th Armed Service Forces Band, which are, it's an entire group of Black women who fought their way through segregation in World War II to be able to serve. And I think we should really start off Women's History Month with that one.
Hell,
so, because yes. it's a really good story, and it's just impeccable as to what they did and went through.
I absolutely agree. And with that being said, our dear listeners, this is the end of this week's episode. Please join us next week when we talk about these amazing women to kick us off with Women's History Month. But for now, join us as we dance it out, per usual.